And I think we just allow the Holy Spirit to give us a new understanding and revelation of what repentance is. For many, repentance is the human response to sin or what's done wrong, and it ends there. And I think that under law, that's really all it ever usually is with people, because the law brings about a sin consciousness. It brings about an awareness of what we lack, our failure. And repentance becomes an exercise of simply avoid, for many people, a way of atoning for that sin, a response to God to where we will feel clean and we won't be punished. It's like the priests in the Old Testament. Once a year, they'd offer sacrifices for the people, and that atoned for their sin. But the futility of that was the people never got any closer to God, and the sin never stopped. So for us in New Covenant, repentance takes on a greater meaning than that. It goes beyond that. Because we know that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin, past, present, and future. And the important thing about New Covenant life is not that we're not honest with ourselves, or we don't acknowledge our sin, or we don't repent of it. But the consciousness, it's not a sin consciousness, it's a God consciousness. New Covenant life is because of the grace of God, we're aware of His love, and we're constantly moving forward into Him. So repentance takes on a new meaning in the New Covenant life. Instead of being simply a response to what we've done wrong, it becomes an attitude of heart that allows us to move forward in our walk with the Lord. Repentance opens the door for us to be in a place to receive the new things that God is doing. Yes. It's a preparation of heart and mind to be able to flow up with the Lord. Now, if we look at repentance from sin, let's look at this a moment. Even when we're repenting over what we've done wrong, I think for many Christians, it becomes a negative experience in that they're looking at what they did wrong, they're acknowledging it before God, and they get stuck in this self-focus of what's wrong. But even in that, repentance is meant to be, yes, we have to be honest with ourselves. Yes, there can be definite agony over the failure we have in our flesh. But repentance is always something that moves, it's fluid, from that point into a greater relationship with the Father. David committed one of the worst sins imaginable. He was a man after God's own heart. You read about it in the Old Testament. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He was responsible for her husband Uriah being killed. And you remember when Nathan confronted him and said, "You are the man." Now read Psalm 51 and you get David's response to that. He cries out, "God, against you alone I have sinned." Now wait a minute. I think Uriah might disagree with that assessment. But what was happening with David is he had to face his sin, and there were consequences for his sin. He paid dearly for that. But as he moved through that human agony over what he did wrong and facing what he did, he came into awareness of what he had lost with God. And that's why he said, "Against thee and thee alone have I sinned." He realized there was something missing in his relationship with the Father. So you see, repentance was not simply a response to something. Repentance was an attitude and became a turning away. David turned away from the deception he was caught into and looked and would turn toward the Father. It was a movement toward God. And then he realized, "Father, I've lost something. I'm a man after your own heart. There's something missing in our fellowship." And Psalm 51 is a beautiful revelation of someone coming to grips with the importance of the relationship they have with God and wanting it back and wanting everything restored. Prodigal son, you remember? He went off and squandered the younger son, all his inheritance. He came to that point of realizing what he was missing. Now you see, under law, all we generally get is, "Yep, I've squandered the inheritance. I got to get right with my Father." But when we're in that new covenant awareness of His grace, it's not just what we've done wrong. we're aware of something more in God that's missing. We're aware of what's missing in relationship with him. And so you have the younger son coming to that point of realizing he needs his father. And in his mind he thinks, well, you know what, I deserve punishment here. Maybe my father will take me back as a servant. I don't deserve to be a son from what I've done. So there's that movement from that realization that he's blown it, he reached bottom, and he's moving back to his father. Again, here's this movement of repentance. Now, what takes place? The father sees him, and what? With open arms, welcomes him back. My son that was missing is returned. Let's have a party. The younger son gets a new revelation of how his father sees him. He comes back expecting judgment because of what he's done wrong, and instead, his father, all he gets is a flow of love and acceptance. This is the power of repentance. It takes us through our failure and brings us to a new revelation of who the Father is and how he sees us. And I think we're much in the same vein, having been beat up in our own psyche over what's wrong with us and carrying that guilt and shame. If we allow the process of repentance to work, it brings us to a point where we really see how God views us. And we're thinking, well, God, I've really blown it. Maybe you'll just take me back as a servant here. I can't see myself as a son because of the way I've acted. The revelation comes through. God is saying, I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad to be a part of you. God wants fellowship with us. He loves us. He doesn't remember our sins anymore. Remember the new covenant? He has no memory of it. All he sees is his creation that he delights in. So that's what repentance is all about, to bring us to a new revelation of who the Father is and how much he, when I say he loves us, how much he desires to be in fellowship with us. Now the older son, what? Was dutiful. He did all the right things. Remember, he told the father, he was upset about this. He said, I've been here all this time. I've done all the right things. See, the older son didn't see any need to repent. Because he saw no need to repent, he was near the father, but not present with the father. Father turned to him and said, all that I have has always been yours. In other words, here's this provision. You could have always enjoyed it. But you see that self-righteous religious attitude of, I'm doing all the right things, I don't need to repent, blocks the awareness of true fellowship with our Father and being able to experience his wonderful provision and what he's given us. See the difference? Repentance is not about our fallen human state or human failure. Repentance is about a roadway or pathway into our experience with the Father. It's about a greater relationship with the Father. It's about enjoying what he's given us by provision. And when there's that religious attitude of, well, I don't really need to repent, I can't think of anything I've done wrong, you know, there's just not the present awareness of who God is. We can be so close with our doctrine like the older son, yet not be present with who God is. What a sad way to live. Repentance, that doorway into greater experience of what God has. Matthew 3:2. John the Baptist says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now here, he's not simply addressing the ungodly, is he? He's not simply saying, you that haven't been religious, get your act together. Something new is going to happen. He is talking to everybody. What John the Baptist is saying about repent, he's saying, listen guys, something new is going to happen here. And for you that have lived ungodly lives, repent. In other words, turn another direction. Something's coming your way. And for you that are religious and know the scriptures and are expecting this Messiah, you repent also because he's going to come and you're not ready for him either. Nobody was ready for Jesus Christ, the Word being manifest on this earth, when the Word became flesh. That's what repentance is all about. None of us are ever ready for what God is going to do. Our minds cannot be prepared. And being religious doesn't make you any more prepared. Repentance is that brokenness of heart. It's that attitude of faith, turning to God, that is the preparation that can receive what God's going to do. It's like the wineskins. You remember the new and the old wineskin? The old wineskin, what happens when the new wine comes? Burst apart. New wineskin can hold the new wine of what God's doing. Which are we? Both. I'm both. Because in my thinking, with given time, it becomes an old wineskin. I remember how God has moved, and I have thoughts about the way it's going to be. When the Spirit falls and the Spirit moves, it always blows apart my preconceived ideas, my agenda, my way of looking at things, without fail. No matter how prepared I think I am, when God moves, it's not going to be the way I think. So there's the old wineskin breaking apart. What's the new wineskin? That's the part of me that just longs to be a part of what God's doing. It holds in faith what he pours out, because that's who I am. Now, repentance is that transition from the old to the new. In that state of repentance, that turning toward God, you allow the old wineskin to burst. You can let go of it. Well, I thought, that's okay. That state of repentance says, I thought one way and God's doing it another. Let God be glorified. I let go of my thinking. And it puts you more in touch and makes you more aware of the new creature that you are and that part of you that just wills to do the will of God. That's what we want. We tend to build boxes. Talk about this just for just a minute. Our mind will always do that. We build a box and we, you know, like, just think of your Christian experience. You get some, the scriptures come alive, you learn certain things, and there's this box. This is who God is. We go along a little bit longer, and God breaks through to us. Revelation comes, and we build a bigger box. And we look at our history and say, well, look how I've grown. I had a limited view of God back here, and now my view of God is so much bigger. What we don't realize is the process of building boxes is not spiritual. It's true we're growing in our knowledge of him. The only problem is God lives outside the box. So repentance is that attitude of heart to where we are able to live outside the box with God. Now our mind is going to continually build boxes. We're going to have those walls of doctrine and thinking. But if we're in that heart of repentance, we're always able to let God blow the house down and build something bigger. We're flowing with God. We're not limited and imprisoned by our own thinking. It's like Abraham. Where was Abraham's home? I don't know where his home was. The guy did a lot of walking. I know who his home was. God. And that's the way it is with us. Where is our home? And that repentant heart, it's like Abraham. We're just walking with him. It's wherever the Spirit is taking us. Our place of abiding is in him. We talk about repentance. It's like in John, Revelation, is it 1:10? 1:12. Remember John said he heard the voice speaking and he had to turn? I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. That's repentance. Whenever God is speaking, if we're going to be with his voice, it's going to require a turning from our thinking and the way we're looking. Without fail, whenever God moves, no matter how many years you've been a Christian, how spiritual you may think you are, there's going to be a turning away from your thinking and a humbling to your life. To be with the voice in what God is currently doing. That's just the way it is. If we're brand new in this, if we've been doing this for 50 years, we're always going to turn away from that, our way of looking at things, to be present with his voice. The Pharisees, and if you read, we can turn there real quick. John 5:39. Let's look at their box. John 5:39 and 40, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that bear witness of me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. Now, it's pretty clear to see that the Pharisees, the mental boxes they built. Jesus was saying, you built this box with the scriptures. You think that, in them you have life. The only problem is this box you've built is pointing outside the box to me, but you don't want me. So you see, with the Pharisees, there was that rigid self-will that when the truth came, they weren't able to let go of how they thought about things. What they said is, this is how we think. Here's someone outside of our thinking saying all these scriptures are about him. We're not letting go of what we think we know. Now, the disciples had their own mental boxes and own agenda. Remember when the Lord had to correct Peter, when we talked about going to the cross, and Peter says, may it never happen. Why? Because in their mind, in their box, Jesus was going to be the earthly king. He was going to take care of the problem with the Romans. He was going to be the movement where they were his first lieutenants. They had their own ideas. But you see, the road that they were on to Pentecost was paved with repentance. That repentant heart was something they were always being challenged with. They were always being humbled by the Lord. John 6, when the Lord confused the masses with his words and he looked at his disciples and said, are you going to leave also? Peter said, where do we go? You know, we have no idea what you're talking about here. But where do we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's the other attitude. They had their own ideas about how they wanted Jesus to be, and those ideas would die on the cross with Jesus. But in their heart, they knew where the life was, and there was that humility to follow. You see, that's that pathway of repentance. And that's why they didn't get stuck in their little box they built about Jesus like the Pharisees. They let the Spirit blow those boxes down. They let go of their thinking. And they arrived at that day of Pentecost in a place to bring in a whole new age. They had an agenda for Jesus to be the natural king over the Israel at that time, deal with the Romans. That's a nice plan, I would think. But look at the plan that God had. Look at God's agenda. He wasn't going to do that, but he was going to reconcile the world to himself by giving up his life and being resurrected, forgive the sins of the world, put his Spirit within people. Day of Pentecost, usher in a whole new age. I think God's plan and agenda was quite a bit bigger. Okay, a few more points here. When we're in this place of repentance or in this attitude of repentance, it's a state of agreeing with what God is doing. Matthew 13:33. The kingdom of God is like leaven. When put into what? Remember, 3 pecks of meal, what happens? It all gets leavened. 3 is symbolic, spirit, soul, and body. But this is God's way of moving. His kingdom within us and the way he moves is thorough. Where our thinking is, I know I want you to deal with these areas of my life. They're an embarrassment to me. These other areas would only be an embarrassment if they come out. So leave them alone, right? We pick and choose. This process of God filling us and what he does in us, we don't control it. That's the problem. It's like that, the kingdom of that leaven. It goes all the way through where we want it to go, where we don't want it to go. Michelangelo was asked about when he created the statue of David. How did you do that? You know, this big block of stone. How could you create something so beautiful? He thought for a minute and said, well, it really was quite simple. I just chipped away everything that wasn't David. That's the way it is with God, right? He chips away everything that's just not who he intends to be in us. Repentance is that place where we flow with what God is doing. It just allows you to be comfortable with a very uncomfortable process, to trust him and let God do his work. It allows the Spirit to deal with the leaven. Remember, Terry talked about this, the leaven of Herod, the self-reliance, the leaven of the Pharisees, that self-righteousness. Those leavens get dealt with, diminish, and the leaven of the kingdom, of his presence, of his life, fills all. Repentance is that state that says, yes, Lord, thy will be done. The last point is repentance opens the door to a new and greater relationship with him. Turn with me to John chapter 15, and this will be our last verse. What we've been saddled with a lot in the church age, I think, has been what I would call a servant/slave relationship. Let me explain something. We are always his servants, aren't we? But the real issue is what is behind being that servant. I think much under the law is we serve God, but there's that slave mentality. And what that is all about is we do it out of sense of duty. We do it because we fear if we don't, we're going to be punished. And so the service can be wonderful, but the inner state behind the service is one of bondage. Now, when we're liberated from the legalism and we realize that we've been bought with a price and we're moving in the grace of God, there is a change of relationship that has occurred. We continue to serve, but there's a liberty inside where we serve as his friends. So it's servant/friend, and that's a whole different basis of doing things. Now, repentance is that state of heart that allows us to transition from the bondage of being slaves into that new relationship of knowing that we're friends of God. Instead of a sense of duty, and I'll say it this way, that I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with doing things out of duty. I think a sense of duty is better than having no sense of duty. Just like with the law and grace, people say, well, I'm not under the law, I do what I want. You know, being freed from the law is not rebellion against the law. Those that are led by the Spirit, these are those that are not under the law. Being freed from the law means we've accepted the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and there's a step of maturity where the heart of the law has been fulfilled. So you're not under the bondage of the law because you've grown. Well, it's the same way here. You don't throw off the slave mentality saying, okay, here I've done all these things. I was afraid God would be upset with me if I didn't do them. Now I'm just going to do my own thing. No. You come into that awareness that you are God's friend. There's a relationship of love, and you say, I'm not doing this because I have to. I'm doing this because I want to. It's in my heart to do it. It says of Jesus in John 10, who took his life away from him? No one. He said, I willingly give up my life. And it's interesting to look at that. It's not that God said, you better go to the cross or else. I don't see them having that kind of relationship. They were friends, intimate friends. And Jesus said, I know what the Father wants to do. I, of my own initiative, give up my life to fulfill that mission. So that's, again, the repentant heart puts us in a place where we realize we can have a greater relationship with him. We can operate out of this friendship. Remember, Abraham was God's friend? And what that frees you from is that fear of being punished, that God doesn't love you, that he's looking for performance. And then you say, Lord, I'm serving you because, wow, you love me so much. What else would I want to do? There's no greater joy in life than to serve our Master and Lord when we know his love for us. Okay, last verse, John 15:15. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus changed the relationship, didn't he, with his disciples? You know what? I think a lot of people don't know that that's happened. They still assume they're slaves trying to gain God's approval. How does our awareness change? You see, repentance prepares us for the new. Now, this new relationship was accomplished when Jesus went to the cross and rose again. But I think for much of the church world, and maybe for us, it's still a new relationship to be experienced. Is God our friend? Is that how we live our lives? And if wherever that's missing, that repentant heart is saying, Lord, what you've created, I want to be my experience. I'm prepared because of repentance. I'm prepared to receive the experience of what you're doing. I don't need a repentant heart to give mental assent to what God's doing. But I need a repentant heart to be able to hold the experience within my life and to live it. Amen. Let's stand. Yes.
Song on country radio, but one of the lyrics is, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.